I think in our humanity, we have two sides, right? So on one side, we might find ourselves where we're stuck, or we're not happy with the status quo, or we're not happy with the way things are, whether it's in our lives or in our country or in our whatever, right? We just, the way it is, we're not loving. We're feeling friction there. That's one side of the coin. And then on the other side of the coin, there's like a desire that we have, something that we want to chase after. And I think that's so much of life. It's not either or, it's both and. And this is a great example where on one hand, you're stuck, you're frustrated, you feel a friction. On the other hand, you're maybe excited and maybe you're longing for something, you desire something. And so on the one hand where you're stuck, I think that I have found in my life what oftentimes we hear and what society tries to shove down our throat is, well, that's just the way it is. You know, you just got to accept it. You got to find a way to be content. And it just is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. And we know that that doesn't settle right or sit right with us because it creates more friction than the friction we had when we identified that we didn't like it. Then on the other hand, when let's say we have a goal or a desire or a dream, and then literally the same process where somebody will look at us and say, well, why do you want that? There's something wrong with that. You know, there's something wrong with your desire. And so then that sort of also puts us back into, well, why don't you just accept the status quo? Why do you have to keep pushing and pursuing and all these different things? And so I find that that also creates frustration because as humans, we tend to desire better. We tend to desire progress. We tend to want to see things actually get better and get more fruitful and more fulfilling and things like that. And so it all kind of starts and revolves around this pain or this frustration that comes from just being stuck in the what it is, what is it right now, as opposed to what could it be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you said it is what it is, and I swear I've probably heard that 1,000 times in my life. And when you hear it that many times, you begin to accept that. Like, you accept that it is what it is, and you get stuck in this feeling that, you know, maybe I can't get the next promotion, or maybe this is just what I keep using the job example, but maybe this is just where I'm at forever. And you know, it's pretty inspiring to kind of see that you have this solution for that.
Yeah. So maybe I should share what this framework is. So it's three parts, and I say it's see it, believe it, go for it. And the reason that it looks that way is because I found in my life, you know, when I think back to as early as I can remember, and I just think like there was a time where I could see, so this is the see it part, I could see what I didn't like, I could see what I didn't want, I could see what I wasn't okay with or happy with or fulfilled or content with or whatever it might be, but I also could see what I wanted. I could see what I wanted to aspire to, what I wanted to pursue. I could see what could be as opposed to just what was or what is. But seeing it isn't enough, right? Like, vision isn't on its own enough. And so I think when you think of your life, it's where do you see the things that you wish were different? And then as you think about what is today, then can you see what you would like them to be? And so that's the see it part. And before I go into the believe it and the go for it, which we'll do, I want to say that what I have found and why I think that this could help other people is because very often I think in accepting the status quo or being pressured into accepting the status quo, what we're essentially telling people is that thing that huge part of what makes us human is actually our ability to imagine what could be and to create it. So the first thing God tells us about himself in the Bible is that he's a creator. And then you have to ask the question, or I think maybe you should ask the question, well, why is he a creator? And I think the only logical answer is because it's in his nature to create. He finds pleasure in creation. So you and me and the world that he created and the other people in the world, he created because he found pleasure in creating. So he gave us, he made us in his image. What did he make us to do? Part of what he made us to do in the garden, he said, procreate and have dominion. He said, go do what I did. Now, we're not going to create the raw materials, but we're going to take the raw materials that he gave us, and we're going to make the world a better place. And so I look at, and this is, I guess, maybe where I think the way I see it is different than how I've heard it articulated before. But where often we are taught or we are pressured or we are told to look at friction or pain or frustration or being stuck as there being something wrong, as a bug in the system. I think what I've come to find and believe in my life is it's actually a feature. It's a feature, not a bug. And it's the thing that, it's the feedback that God allows us to have in our life where we see something that we don't like. And then the God creation, I don't know how to say it exactly, but the part that makes us like God in that we can create things gets triggered. And it says, oh, you don't like this? Oh, well, I created you to do something about it. I created you to find pleasure in finding an answer to the problem, in solving for the friction. And the way that we would do that is we would go out and we would have to imagine something that does not exist yet or something that could exist better. And then we go through the process, which we'll talk about briefly next, of how do you come to the point where you can believe it's possible? So you got to see it, then you got to believe it's possible. And then when you believe it's possible and you believe that that you can actually do something about it, then you go for it. Then you actually have the courage to take the leap, so to speak. And so from my standpoint, the main part is if you're watching this, if you're listening to this and you find yourself in a place where you feel really frustrated, you feel really stuck, you feel like the things that you desire, the things that you want to pursue in your life that, you know, people are oppressing you down and they're discouraging you from those things. Instead of thinking, man, what is wrong? Or is there something wrong with me? I would encourage you to say, actually, maybe it's just God. Maybe it's just God waking you up to, this is part of why you were made. You were made to enjoy, not to despise or find despair in this part of the process, but you were made in a way where this could wake up something inside of you that could actually allow you to do what God finds so much pleasure in doing, which is to go and to create something that's better. And that's not a bad thing. Desiring to have a better life, desiring to be able to provide better for your family or whatever it might be is not a bad thing. It's desire is something God gave us. And down the road, we can talk about, you know, where that can lead that's maybe not so good. But for this video, what I wanted to share with people is if you have a desire, I hope that this will help you to see that it's not something that's wrong. It's not a bug. It's a feature. And it's a feature meant to invite you into actually participating in the process that makes you human, which is creating something that's better, to create a what could be as opposed to just accepting what is.
Yeah, during our brief conversation, we talked about, for me, man, I've been a little frustrated with my job. I've been doing some monotonous tasks, getting back into that mode. And, after having this conversation, it reminded me of the whole reason why I'm doing it in the first place of I love to build, I love to create. And, when you first made that that connection between, man, God loves creators, he loves multipliers, I thought about what I'm doing at my work is in line with that. And that made me so excited. And it gave me that access to your three-step plan of that see it, believe it, and go for it. Because now I see it. Now I just need to go out and believe it and just be the best builder that I can and go for it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of the things that we talked about, which is, it's not necessarily that you have to go build something in the way that we think about it. It's that it's really more of we have the ability to create something that could be, that doesn't exist yet, that's better than what is. And so sometimes the thing that we would go out and create that the what it could be is also just a mindset or a frame of mind, right? To look at our job and say, man, I'm frustrated in this right now. That's that frustration that we were talking about earlier. And instead of getting stuck in this negative feedback loop of frustration, to step back and say, oh, the frustration's just trying to tell me something. It's trying to invite me into something. And what it's inviting me into is how can I take what is, which is frustrating, and actually utilize what God gave me to turn it into what could be, which is maybe just in this case, a different perspective. How can I find the things in my job that I actually love? How can I get reconnected with why I'm here? How can I show my family, let's say, that our frustration at work doesn't have to dictate frustration at home. Like, I'm not necessarily saying that you got to go start a company, although that's, you know, that's a great option too for certain people in certain cases. But to see it is just, man, God, like, think about this. We are the only thing on the earth that can imagine something in our brain that does not exist and then go figure out how to make it. Like, that is what makes us human in so many ways. There's nothing else on this planet that can do it. And yet, so often, what I find is that, you know, culture, whatever, entropy, whatever you want to call it, just tries to beat into us. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't change it. And I think, you know, in my life, there have been so many examples of that where I didn't even know any of this. It just was how I was wired, where I'm just like, no, I don't accept that. I don't accept that. It just is what it is, and I can't do anything about it. I don't have any agency. I don't have any input into the situation. And so I think that this framework of see it, first you got to see what you don't like. You got to see where the friction is. You got to see where you're feeling frustrated. And then I would invite you to say, then imagine. Like, let the creative juices flow. Because when we feel like we're stuck and frustrated and we get stuck in that loop, the first thing that turns off is our ability to be creative. Like, we get stuck into our reptilian brain, and the creativity, it just ceases to be there. And so if we can step back and say, oh, this isn't actually a problem. It's an invitation. And so let me step back and say, oh, how could I imagine what could be and how what could be is different? And then don't feel bad about what could be. Get excited about it. And then we can dive into the believe it, which is just because you can see it, just because you can dream it, doesn't mean you can go out and create it or build it. And that's where, for me, the believe it is. And I think you and I in our offline conversation talked about this, which is belief, the way that I'm trying to articulate it, isn't, hey, I'm just going to will myself into thinking this is true. It's more of, think of belief in a courtroom of, do you believe they're innocent or guilty based on the evidence presented, right? So when I say believe it, what I mean is, let's say in our job, we envision something better. We envision something more impactful, whatever it might be for you. And then you say, okay, well, what evidence do you have in your life that you're prepared to go start to take the steps to make that become a reality? And I don't say that because I'm trying to say, you know, maybe you're not good enough. Maybe you haven't taken the steps. It's more of, hey, there's a both and here. There's yes, there's the imaginary, there's the intuition, there's the creativity, and then there's actually the skill sets to go out and start taking steps to build in. And so for me, believing it could be, what do you need to know? What do you need to learn? What skills do you need to develop? Those kinds of things, because if it's just a vision, it's a pipe dream. But if it's a vision that's actually applied with purpose and with intention, then we can actually start to create the thing that we saw in our brains.
Yeah, all I can think about is looking at Michael Jordan behind you there. Is I'm sure he saw his future and he saw what it could be. And then he just believed in it and he went for it. And another example you used was Thomas Edison. And for me, being an engineer, that hit a little bit because it's like, man, what if he didn't see that? What if he didn't see what everybody else didn't see? And we were just living with candles right now. Like, that'd be a tough time for us for sure. So that just, it's like, I every single person I've looked up to for what they've done, or I've, you know, taken a piece of what they've done and applied it to my life. I think about that question. And if I were to ask them that question to them, like, what did they see that, you know, that everybody else didn't see, and how did they believe in it? Man, I could just picture their responses. And then, you know, how that sprouts from frustrations, like I've always seen frustration as this negative emotion, this not even a negative emotion, but it's I've always thought of it as like an anchor almost. Like, man, this repetitive task, this thing that I'm doing over and over and over again, it's just getting me so frustrated. And then now I get to that point where it's like, this is new. This has just come in the past hour or two where I'm like thinking about all the things that I'm frustrated about. And I'm like, what are some opportunities to fix that? What are some opportunities to make that, to create something to solve that problem that I'm getting frustrated with?
Yeah. And then the great thing is, and we talked about this as well, but you know, it's easy for people to today to sort of poo-poo this idea in a sense. And it's because, well, we live in so much luxury, even when we don't think we do. And we do because people before us had the ability to see it, to believe it, and to go for it. And because they did, we get to enjoy the fruits of that. So my point is that when we do this and we do it well, the purpose and the reason I think that God gave us this ability was actually to make the lives of the people around us better, to serve other people through the things that we're seeing, believing, and going for. And so you talked about Edison. The other one that I really like is when you think about like Michelangelo, I believe it was, and he gets this big block of granite or marble. I think it was marble, I'm sure. And everyone else probably looking at that and going, that's kind of an ugly, dull-looking block of marble. And the sculptor says, wow, I see David, right? Or I see whatever it is. And so seeing it isn't enough, right? And it doesn't mean you're not enough. That's not what I'm saying. We're all enough. But my point in the beginning was God takes pleasure in creation. So it's not about being enough or not being about enough. It's that God's inviting us to have to find pleasure in actually doing the creative part. That's what he likes to do too. And so when the artist, the sculptor, sees this block of marble, it's not enough to bring it actually into reality by just seeing it. He has to actually know how to sculpt things and sand things and do all the things, right? And he also has to know how to step back and sit there and contemplate and think. And then he has to actually know when he's going and something maybe looks a little different than he saw it in his brain, how to pivot and how to make an adjustment while he's moving. And so my whole point in all that is that a guy like Michelangelo or a guy like Thomas Edison, their love for the creative process, their love for the thing that they're so enamored with is also what drives their desire to believe that it's possible. It drives their desire to learn more. It drives their desire to try more. And so when that happens, when we embrace that thing, and when we get enamored with it, some of that believing it part just comes naturally because we find ourselves just like, we're so excited to dive deep. It's kind of like if you've ever read a really good book and you just can't put it down. I think that's what the creative process can be like, and it doesn't always look like that. But I think the joy in and I guess that's my whole point, that instead of looking at frustration the way you just explained it, if we can look at frustration as, oh, this is just an invitation, a way that God invites us into, how can we see what could be different here? And what things would we have to be able to know and do in order to believe that we could actually make this come to reality? And then because this is where maybe we'll transition into believe it, but like when you go into a trial and let's say you're on a jury, you probably never are going to know for sure 100% if the person's innocent or guilty. But based on the evidence, you're going to have a belief, and then eventually you have to make a determination, in some cases like a life or death determination, based on the belief and the conviction that you have. You have to go for it. And I think it's the same way in life, right? We can see it. We can do and learn and get excited about all the things to believe it, but we're never going to know 100% if we're good enough to bring it into reality or if it's going to work or whatever it might be. We might get to the point where it's like 80%, and then that's where courage comes in. To go for it, right? And the world is changed and our communities are changed and our lives are changed when we actually have the courage, we develop the courage is maybe a better way to put it. So that at the end of that journey of believing it, or maybe it's during the journey of believing it, we actually go for it. And so I think when you look at the people that we just talked about, or Michael Jordan in the background here, I guess that side, it's like Michael could see it. He could see it no matter what, like the story of his coach cutting him or whatever when he was a sophomore. Or me, when I can remember I had a coach tell me that I couldn't play Division I college baseball. And I just said, oh, well, I can see it. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to do what it takes to go for it. And I did. And I got to play Division I college baseball. And MJ did. And he got to do a lot more than that. And so I think like part of why I wanted to make this and share this and really focus on this moving forward is I just want people who watch this to understand and to know that if there's a place in your life, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your parenting, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your faith, whatever it might be, where you're just feeling that frustration. You're just feeling like, gosh dang it, I don't like what is. Instead of just saying, oh, well, it just is how it is and you should learn to be content and all that, which is what we're all told very often. What if, maybe just what if? That's not the answer. What if actually the answer is God is just tapping you on the shoulder and saying, yeah, that's why I put you here. I put you here because I want people to feel that friction so that they can use their creative ability. They can fall in love with that creative part of them to go out and actually develop solutions for themselves. Because as you've seen, if you follow like personal brands and great businesses and all this, a lot of it comes from people who solved their own problem. And then they went out and said, hey, if it worked for me, it can work for other people. And then that problem starts to work for others. And I just want it to be an encouragement that, you know what? We don't have to accept what is. And the friction that we feel from what is isn't a bug in the system. It's a feature. And that we have the ability. We have the creative ability. We have the tools. God has given us the gifts to go out and to create what could be.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty amazing. I picture it as a... When you were saying that, I'm always trying to picture an analogy when you're talking. But for me, it was, I picture like a spark. That frustration you're feeling is like a spark. And you get to decide whether it lights the fire or not. And that's the amazing part, right? And for me, man, I'm just seeing all these little bits of frustrations coming out and seeing all the opportunities I have to really follow what God's been wanting me to do the whole time.
Yeah, and I would say it's actually maybe more like, which flame are you going to ignite? Are you going to ignite the flame that is that loop that sucks the life out of you, that just makes you disgruntled because, you know what, this is just how life is. Nothing I can do about it. I'm just one person, right? Is it going to ignite that spark? Is it going to ignite that flame? Is it going to ignite that flame that just says, you know, you shouldn't want that. You shouldn't have desire because there's something wrong with you if you do. What is it that would make you think that you deserve that? Right? Because that's what happens. Or are you going to let it ignite the flame that just says, oh, man, maybe God's trying to tell me something. Maybe God has something for me here. And maybe before we wrap up, I'll just say this. Just like my analogy of the sculpture with the block of marble, I would say that I'm not saying any of this to say that if we don't go out and do things that we're less worthy, less valuable, less loved. God created all of us because he took pleasure in creating us. He loves us. And whether we go out and do anything doesn't make any real difference in the sense of his love for us. But the way I see it is he created us like that block of marble or like that seed in the ground. And he's just saying, yeah, and I want you to find pleasure in going from that block of marble into that beautiful sculpture. I want you to find pleasure in going from that tiny little seed to an oak tree that's just planting or that's bearing fruit and fruit and fruit. That's what he has available for us. And it's not that we're going to go out and do it because we're trying to earn something or become or try and like do to be, let's say. It's that we're saying, oh my gosh, God took pleasure in creating. God took pleasure in taking chaos and darkness and forming it into beauty. The Bible says he makes beauty from ashes. And it's like, yeah, and he gave us that part of him. He gave us that creative ability to see what's not right, to see what we don't like. And instead of just accepting it as, hey, this is just how it's going to be and I have no agency, he says, hey, no, you can go out and you can make beauty from ashes. You can create a beautiful sculpture out of an ugly block of rock and stone. And so that's really my desire here is hopefully to just awaken what already exists in all of us, which is the reason we feel frustrating is because God put inside of us something that says, you don't have to just accept it. And I'm not saying that it changes every single outcome. But if it doesn't change the outcome, it can at least change how we interpret what's going on. And that in and of itself changes other outcomes. It makes the world a better place. And really, that's what I believe. I believe we can see it. I believe we can believe it. And then I believe we can go for it. And I think that when we do that, we make the world a better place. We serve our neighbor and our lives improve as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Zach, really.
So with that, if you found this useful, we'd love to hear about it in the comments below. If you'd like us to cover something in the future as it relates to this idea of see it, believe it, go for it, let us know that as well. If this was impactful or you think it could help somebody else, we'd really love it if you'd share it, because ultimately that's how this message gets out, and I really do want it to get out. And so yeah, you could do that. Hit the subscribe button. We'd love to have you follow along for the journey. And thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.